never been to church on a Christmas Sunday morning before, ever. So this is like pretty awesome for me. I just want to read with you guys chapter 2, 5 to 18. So if you want to turn there with me and read along, that would be great if you have your Bibles. And I hope you do. Chapter 2 of Hebrews, verse 5. For it was not to angels that God subjected the world to come, of which we are speaking. It has been testified somewhere, what is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you care for him? You made him for a little while lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor, putting everything in subjection under his feet. Now, in putting everything in subjection to him, he left nothing outside of his control. At present, we do not yet see everything in subjection to him, but we see him who for a little while was made lower than the angels, namely Jesus, crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting that he, for whom and by whom all things exist, in bringing many sons to glory, should make the founder of their salvation perfect through suffering. For he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one source. That is why he is not ashamed to call them brothers, saying, I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will sing your praise. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children God has given me. Since, therefore, the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, the deliverer, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. For surely it is not angels that he helps, but he helps the offspring of Abraham. Therefore, he had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make propitiation for sins of the people. For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted.
Morning again. If you do have your Bible still open, we are going to read from the text of Hebrews. But before we do, let's just take a few moments to pray. I know there's many that are sick. Some have gone into the hospital. There's been other situations that have gone on through this week with Rich and his eye getting hurt, Margaret ending up in the hospital, and others that are not here today too, Len and Helen, there's many. Anyways, the cold is going around and everyone's not feeling so well. So let's just take that time to pray for them right now. Father, I just thank you that we can come to you and know that you hear us, you know our need. And I just thank you that we have that ability to come to a living God. Amen. And ask for your grace in these situations that have gone on this week with Rich's eye and with others being sick and with Margaret entering the hospital with sickness as well. I just ask that you would bring a healing touch to all of them and that your spirit would uplift their souls wherever they are at this moment. And Father, as well, that you would bless our time as we dig in to Hebrews chapter 2. That we could gain much understanding in this time. And our eyes and our minds and our hearts would be opened to the truth that you have for us in your word. And we thank you that we do have the Son who speaks to us through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So if there's some of you that may not remember, but Lauren Dick was sent off by us to go to Mexico. And I wanted to give you guys a little update with him and what's going on with him. Since he sent me an email, I was pretty excited to hear from him. So, he said, things are gearing up for Christmas. There's been a few events, including local classic music programs, which are very nice, he said. He has been able to work with rehab and sandwiches for the homeless. And that's especially been a highlight for him. And it's great, and he believes that it's a great need in the community. And the local people have been very supportive. And Mark, another man there, and him, have renovated the girls' kitchen. And now they're moving on to new things. Things have slowed down now for Christmas, with people going home to their families. But they have three guests and two ladies and a gentleman from BC to help out over the holidays. And he said, all is well in Mexico. But he said it's going to be green. Not white stuff like we have here. And lots of it. And another thing I want to give you guys for an update too. We have been praying for Mark, Pat's brother, older brother, and I'll read it to you guys. I wanted to let you know what is happening in case you can put anything out of those who are praying. I was discharged from the hospital on Wednesday, and I do not know how to say this word, with an echocardiogram, I did get it right, the following morning to help determine what is going on with my health. The doctor is trying to determine what appears to have been an infection, probably respiratory, where and what that means. Feeling much better, except for the shortness of breath. I am so appreciative of the concern and prayers of the people of CBC here at Crestland Baptist. So he's very thankful for the prayers. And there's an answer to prayer right there, that the Lord worked it out that he was able to go home, leaving the hospital. We've had a few exciting things happen over the last little while, too, with some friends of ours back home and different things going on and just people being excited with the work of the Lord and what he's doing in their life. So it's been a neat time. This Advent season and this time of year. So we've been very blessed to be encouraged with friends who are growing in the Lord. And I mean, they're growing, growing in the Lord extremely. So it's very exciting to hear. And I hope that you guys are excited about this Advent season as well. And I hope that you guys have had a blessed time. And I know that even though in the blessings, there still can be sorrow and there can be pain. But we can find the joys amidst that. We can look for the little gems that are there. In Hebrews, we have an excellent gem here in Hebrews. The book of Hebrews itself, just to let you know, is that it was directed to the Hebrews itself. clearly, the name Hebrews, but it was directed to the Jews. But it as well is for all Christians. It is for Christians, and we can take from it much. It was in the time that they needed it. And we too need the book of Hebrews. And it can bless our lives. We have been handed the opportunity this morning to come together. We have lit the candles again. Hope, peace, joy, love. Now Christ, in this in the day of Christ's coming in past. Not only do we celebrate his birth, but his second coming. What a day that we can behold and that we can gather here this morning to thank him, to thank our God for the work that he's done. And we can tell generation after generation of our Lord and Savior. Hebrews 2:9, it says a little ways in, who for a little while was made lower than the angels, coming to earth in the flesh. Now, Hebrews 2:5. Let's read that together. And I'm reading from the ESV as well again. Now it was not to angels that God subjected the world to come, of which we are speaking. The world was never put under the authority of angels. Or will it ever be? They work and do the work of God. The world was not created by angels. Jesus was in the beginning, John 1:1, and everything was made through him, John 1:3. But we must not forget the Old Testament, because it was mediated by angels. For Hebrews 2:2 says, for since the message declared by angels proved to be reliable and every transgression or disobedience received a just retribution. This reminds us of the Mosaic law brought to Moses on Mount Sinai through angels. Acts 7:38. And it says, the angel who spoke to him on Mount Sinai. And then in Galatians 3:19 it says, why then the law? It was added because of transgressions, until the offspring should come and to whom the promise had been made. It was put in place through angels by an intermediary. Christ, born, is a promise, and he is the promise. Then Moses was that mediator, was to speak to the people because of their fear, and you can read that when they were in Exodus 20:19. So through the years of old, God spoke to his people through many prophets, many through the years. Moses was way back, then all through the years, many prophets rose up to speak the word to the people, to call them to him. But now he has spoken through his son. Hebrews 1, 1-2. I'm going to read verse 2 to you from chapter 1. But in these last days he has spoken to us by his son, to whom he appointed the heir of all things, though through whom also he created the world. God's glory has been manifested in the flesh through Christ, his birth. And we can behold. 1 Peter 1, 20-21 says, He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Not in anyone else, but in him. Hope in him. Jesus was willing and able to leave his heavenly realm to dwell in the flesh in order to save us, the lost. Let's read together. I'm going to get you guys to flip with me to Philippians 2, 6 to 8. If you hold your finger in Hebrews. Philippians 2, 6 to 8. I love this verse. I enjoy this verse, these verses so much. It says in Philippians 2, 6, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. This is amazing. The creator of the heavens and the earth chose to dwell with us in order to save us. Nothing in our history will ever compare to what has been done through the work of Christ and his being born through the Virgin Mary. Again, Jesus was made a little lower than angels. In return, he became everything to those who have faith in his work on the cross. Hebrews 2, 5 to 8. We're going to unpack that a little bit. Man was made a little lower than the angels and given the right to have dominion over the earth. Again, angels have never been given the right to rule and have dominion over the earth. They were ministers of it, of what God directs them to do. At this time, we cannot deny that we as man do not have authority or dominion over the earth in such ways as what it was in the beginning when Adam and Eve and all creation was done. Adam named the animals. And this is because of the transgression of man. And I believe it was actually in one of our songs today that talked about the first Adam, and then Christ is an example of the second Adam who was to come, but is greater because he brings redemption. So man was made a little lower than the angels. Christ was made lower than the angels, a little lower than the angels for a time. Hebrews 2, 9 to 10, we're going to talk about that a little bit. But we have Christ who came to earth in order to regain man's dominion through his death. Because of Christ's coming, man has the ability through belief in Christ to come to his glory. One day, we will rule with our Lord and Savior, but we can stand firm that we are no longer bound by death that was brought through the transgression. We are no longer bound when we believe in the saving work of Christ. We have glory in Christ. Let's just read Hebrews 2:11. For he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one source. That is why he is not ashamed to call them brothers. We must now live this life in the flesh, ruling over the flesh, through Christ's death and resurrection and our new birth. Romans 6, 3 to 8. If you want to flip there, please do. Romans 6, 3 to 8. I'm going to read it to you. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. Our source must be in Christ and only Christ. Back to Hebrews 2:12-13. Let's read that together as well. Saying, I will tell of your name to the brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will sing your praise, and again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children of God. Let's repeat that again. Behold, I and the children God has given me. The Mosaic law was good. We can read that as well in Romans 7:12. But we have something even better than what the angels brought. We have the promise that was to come and has come to the seed of Jacob, the Redeemer for all the world, the one and only begotten Son, born in the flesh. Behold, Christ shares in the glory of everyone who has come to faith in Christ. John 17:22-24 states that for us. Christ is bringing many to his sanctifying work, and we who are his are knit together with the Son and the Father. When two materials get sewn together, they're bound. Christ is bringing many to his sanctifying work, and we who are his are knit together with the Son and the Father. We are brothers in Christ, sharing in the same nature as Christ. Hebrews 2:14-16. I want to read with that with you as well. Since therefore the children share in the flesh and the blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. For surely it is not angels that he helps, but he helps the offspring of Abraham. Christ became like man, partaking in the flesh in order to become the one who had power over death. It had to be done. The devil had power over death through the fall. But through the work of Christ on the cross, Christ defeated death and Satan and his little minions, is what I always think of them as. I don't know if there's any of you who've seen the Minion with the Minion movie or any little memes, but I'm reminded of those when I think about Satan and his angels, Satan the angel, his little angels, his little workers. But they've been defeated, those fallen angels. Satan no longer has power over death. Because of Christ's complete work, Satan's stronghold of death is no longer holding those who have faith in Christ. There is no fear in death from Satan when we have been delivered through the blood of Christ. We no longer have to fear. We all know that we're going to come to death. It's a reality. But we know that when we have Christ, we have newness of life, and we will reign with our God one day. We know that Christ was born, and he had come. He came to save man from the chains of death that bound us in our sin. He came to mankind so that lifelong slavery and fear and death could be defeated once and for all. This is why he had to become like us in order to save us. Hebrews 2:17 to 18. Therefore, he had to be made like his brothers in every respect so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Christ became like us in order to experience what we experience in the flesh. He was a baby who longed after pure milk from his mother and grew into manhood, dealing with hunger and thirst, John 4, 6-8. In doing so, he became the highest of priests, serving God unto death. He is the highest of priests because he knew no sin. There are not angels that can save us in our times of temptation. Only Christ can do this work. Not that they're not doing anything, angels. They are there doing the work of God and how he distributes them. But Christ can do the work. He is befitting in this matter through his suffering and temptation while in the flesh, and is able to help us when in need. The world looks at Christ and his work and looks at it as foolishness. But for those, for any of us who have come to his work, have been humbled, they have found restitution through believing what the world thinks is foolish. Only a foolish person would think there is no God. Salvation, again, in a baby. Our God is tangible. He grew in Mary's womb. He was held and loved at the breast of his mother. The blood passed through his veins. He was touched. He was seen by men. Behold, our Savior has come. Why? Why do we get to receive such a gift from God? As what was read earlier with John 3:16 to 17, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Man-made gods could never give us what we have been given through the life of Christ. No other gods would give such a gift as our God has given, because man-made gods only give what man makes. We too may have struggles going on in our lives, but many of us will be leaving here this morning to spend time with family members, church family, to eat food, have laughter, talk about stories, situations, and time past, play games, and to spend our evening in a warm house. We are truly blessed. Some questions for us as we come to a close with this part of the service. Where are you today with your walk with the Lord? How much time have you spent feeding and nourishing the spirit man that lives within you? My hope is that as we have participated in this Advent season, I know some of you aren't here for all of it, for everything that we've done in these last few weeks. But my hope is that as we have participated in this Advent season, that you have all grown in the light that came into the world. We who have tasted the goodness of God must not lose sight of the glory we have been given through the Son. If anyone is here today and has never heard the message of Christ, I hope that this has brought excitement to you. And I plead with you to repent of your sins and turn to God. Be baptized. Choose no longer to go on sinning, but live your life with new hope, peace, and love. And if anyone needs to talk about any of that afterwards, after the service, I am free and willing to pray with you. But let's pray before we go into our last song. Father, I just thank you again for these words in the book of Hebrews. I thank you for this day that we have come here to behold your glory that was done through the work of your Son. And I just ask that as everyone goes from here, that they would remember the loving work of your Son, who gave his life that we could have hope, peace, and joy, and ultimately love. In Jesus' name, amen.